गुरु ब्रह्मा गुरु विष्णु गुरु देवो महेश्वरा गुरु साक्षा परब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। Good morning, everyone. Looking this morning at Merging with Shiva, lesson 317, Four Stages of Evolution. Let me begin with something that may at first come as a surprise to you. All men and women on the earth are doing exactly as they should and must do. Isn't that an interesting statement? We always think that we're not doing what we should be doing. We should be doing something else, right? I should be doing this, this, and this. But Gurudev is saying, no, you're doing exactly what you should be doing. In other words, we gravitate to what we should be doing. It may take us a while. When we're 17, we may not exactly be there. 27, probably closer. 37, closer yet. You know, we gravitate to what we should be doing. It's just human nature to end up doing what we should be doing. And therefore, if we think we should be doing something else, we're simply frustrating ourselves. Unnecessarily. We're becoming discontent. Instead of being content, we're being discontent by thinking something is wrong, something is out of place, something we're doing we shouldn't be doing. Something that happened today shouldn't have happened today. My problem with this person shouldn't have happened. We kind of want life to be problem-free, right? It's just free ride, no problems. It's like eating dessert without having to eat the main meal. No, everything is the way it should be. The challenges we're facing are what we're supposed to be facing. But it's human nature not to want to face the challenges. We just want the dessert. We want it to be easy. But that's like having an infant never walk. You know, it's not easy to walk. You've got to develop muscles. So it's the challenges that are difficult, but they're what cause us to mature spiritually. People complain, I wish I were rich. I wish I had lived somewhere else. I really should be a doctor, if only things were different. But in the final analysis, we are all doing exactly as we want, as we must, doing what is next on our personal path of evolution. So that's the key. We're doing what is next, not what is the most enjoyable, not what is the end result, but we're doing what is next. It's a logical pattern that progresses from one life to the next. We end up doing what's next based on our previous lives, and then we end up in the future life doing what's next based on the past life. So it's a very wonderful statement. You know, we're doing what we should be doing. Just do it well. Very simple. Nothing is wrong. Nothing should be that is not. Even the drunk, even the thief is part of the cosmic dance of God Shiva. You should ever think of being a thief, for there is much difficult karma there. Just realize that he too is evolving. He too is Shiva's creation, and what he does is, for him, somehow necessary. Oh, it takes us a while. You can look at the thief. It takes us a while to encompass that actions have consequences. That's the thief. He doesn't think there's a consequence. You know, I can just go into the bank and take the money. We had, what, a bank robbery on Kapa'a, right? They didn't do very well. Got $1,000, I think. Got caught. But you don't see the consequences. You don't understand the consequences. You think you can avoid the consequences of an action. That's what immaturity is. You're not accepting that there are consequences to every action, that even though someone may not initially know, eventually those consequences will come to you. So that's what maturity is, understanding the consequences before you act. That's true maturity. And therefore, you discriminate between what you want to do and what you don't want to do because you don't want to face those consequences. Just look at the world. Warriors have to fight their battles. Priests have to take care of their temples. Businessmen must sell their goods. Farmers must grow their crops and tend their flocks. Teachers must pass on knowledge. Each one has to do what he has to do in the great cosmic dance of Shiva. Each one follows the path of service leading to devotion, which leads to spiritual disciplines of yoga. Finally, that yoga culminates in the attainment of truth or God realization. These are the four margas leading the soul to its very self. Aha, we're ending up in Saivasiddhanta here. Four margas. For Hindus, the path is seen as divided into four stages of inner development. Some say karma yoga, bhakti yoga, raja yoga, and jnana. Others say charya, kriya yoga, and jnana. Either way, it is basically the same. Progressive stages followed by the soul in its quest for God. We are speaking here of the way the ancients attained their realizations, how they lived their lives, suffered, went through mental pain in their tapas, walked the sanmarga path through life, charya, kriya, yoga, and jnana, and in that process unwound the karmas of the past, learned to live fully in the present, abashed the person of themselves to be the soul of themselves. They practiced true yoga to obtain release from rebirth, moksha, which only the realization of the absolute truth can give. There is, of course, no action too great to render to persist on the path of enlightenment once the path has been clearly defined. That's pointing out the four stages. There's a wonderful entry in the Tamil lexicon. Forget exactly what it is, but it's Saivism with different emphasis. It gives all these different terms for Saivism. Each one is either philosophically different in the end result, such as ending up at Shiva's feet versus the water going back in the ocean of Shiva, or focusing on a different practice, all these different definitions of Saivism. One of them, which is the one I think is the most important, as it focuses on practice, is Nalupada Saivam, which is what this is talking about, the Saivism of four stages. Nalu, four, pada, stages, Saivam. Nalupada Saivam, Charya Kriya Yoga and Jnana. It's another way of saying Charya Kriya and Yoga and Jnana. That if we just focus on that, which is really same as Ashtanga Yoga, the different stages, Yama, Niyama, Asana, etc. It's the same thing. It's Gurudeva compares Yama to Charya, Niyama to Kriya, and the rest is Yoga, ending up in Jnana. So it's the same thing, the idea of stages. We need to approach Hinduism in stages. The English words that Gurudeva just used were service, devotion, meditation, or yoga, that we need to look at it in that way, that We need to perfect our service. And that naturally leads to increased devotion, and devotion naturally leads to meditation. So it's so simple when you just look at it the way Gurudev is explaining it. You know, we don't want to rush too far ahead. These days, there's two ways of thinking about moksha in the Hindu community. One is you totally ignore it. Moksha, okay. So I have to earn a living, have a family, do this. You know, we don't have any thought of moksha at all. When we're young, we have to study, and when we're middle-aged, we have to work, and when we're old, you know. It's, there's no encompassing of moksha in the basic pattern of life. That's very common. The other is we think we're going to get it next year. They have teachers in Malaysia that are current, used to be in the U.S., but now I think it's more in Malaysia. They have this weekend seminar, and you know, you get your training on Saturday and pay your money. You get your initiation on Sunday, and you're guaranteed moksha within a year. You know, all you have to do is do this simple practice. So either we think moksha is too easier than it is, or we ignore it altogether. That's the what's common in the Hindu world, and therefore that's why I wrote the Pub Desk on the path to moksha, to try and help us have a more realistic approach to it, as it's not understood. It's just not. You talk to people about moksha and you get a blank look. It's not explained well. Therefore, we want to say the path to moksha, because then it makes it clear. Oh, the path to moksha idea is that moksha is on the top of the mountain and there's a winding path, because you can't walk up a mountain straight unless you're a really strong person. Got to take a winding path up. And we're born somewhere on this path. Say we're halfway, just as a simple example. We're halfway up this path. It takes many lives to get all the way to the top. So what do we want to do? We're not trying to race to the top. We're trying to move forward as much as our karma and dharma permits. We want to move forward, and we want to be content in simply moving forward. Maybe we only move 3 steps forward, but we want to be content that we move forward. We don't want to be frustrated that we didn't get to the top. You know, that's what's not understood. Some people frustrate themselves in trying to make too much progress, and they become discontent in the present instead of just accepting everything that is as where you should be. So we want to move forward. We move forward by not doing anything seriously wrong. If we do something seriously wrong, like rob a bank in Kapa'a, you know, we go backwards. Because we create karma that we have to work through for maybe a couple of lives. We've created some unnecessary karma by a seriously wrong action. That's going backwards. We stand still if we don't do anything religious and don't do anything for anybody else. We can totally stand still. In a whole lifetime, we don't move forward at all. What a waste, right? How do we move forward? By, of course, following virtue, being of service. And if we're good at service, we'll naturally become devotional. And if we're good at devotion, we'll naturally be able to meditate. But it's a very logical path that, unfortunately, is not that often understood. So we're trying to move forward on the path toward moksha, with the consciousness that it usually takes many lives, and want to be content in that moving forward. Story I remember about the leaves on the tree, you've probably heard that story. 2 disciples, one asked, they both asked, how long will it take to achieve moksha? And so he told the first one, something like, it was a very precise number, 4 lifetimes. And the man was totally depressed. 4 more lifetimes, this is terrible. He told the other one, take as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree. And the man was so happy. Oh, I'm going to make it. So we need to adjust our perspective to the second viewpoint that, you know, we need to be content with however long it'll take us to make it. And as Gary Davis says, enjoy the journey. Om Namah Shivaya.